and welcome to The Unveiling. I'm Tim, one of the hosts. Along with Ajay and Mark, we are three guys discussing the one true gospel. We hope you're encouraged by this episode. Let's dive right in.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Unveiling. We are so excited to be back with you again this week as we continue our series entitled The Law and Grace. And one thing that's occurred to me, first of all, Ajay, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here again, as always. Nice to see you, Mark. Look forward to our podcast today.
Me too. So one of the things that jumped out at me today, Ajay, and I know I've mentioned it to you, is when we do these podcasts, it's always very important for us to not give you our opinions, but to support everything we say by Scripture. And you would think that would be a challenge, but what I think the two of us would agree on, correct me if I'm wrong, Ajay, is that as we do this, there's too much Scripture to support the gospel, to support the role of the law, to support understanding grace. We're always more, it's more of a challenge for me personally to narrow it down. I mean, I could literally sit here on some of these subjects and just read you Scripture for a couple hours of everything that, especially the Apostle Paul, but the Gospels, the Old Testament, Old Covenant, the Peter and John and Revelation, there's so much in Scripture to support the message of God's grace, the role of the law. So that's our challenge today, Ajay.
Yeah, in fact, Mark, I was going to say, like the whole book, you know, the more we read, the more we realize that the whole book is a book of Jesus. You know, if you... What is Bible is a book of Jesus. It is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The entire book is about through salvation through Jesus Christ. So like you said, as we read the Bible and understand, you know, as you said, it's harder to narrow down the Scriptures. And the other good thing is, you know, anywhere you pick up the Scripture, we know it is about our Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through faith in His name.
Amen. It sure is. And thanks to God that He gave us so much revelation in Scripture to understand Him, which is what He wants. He wants us to know Him intimately, and so He's given us everything we need in Scripture, particularly to understand and receive Him and know Him. So let us move forward. You okay with that, Ajay?
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
Okay, so everybody, if you hadn't had a chance to listen to last week's The Law and Grace Part 1, it would be great if you could do that, because it's going to really set up today. But for those of you who already have or won't have a chance to do that, I just want to give you a couple bullet points from last week concerning the law. The first thing we talked about was the importance of understanding the role of the Old Covenant law. And then we spent some time defining exactly what we mean and what the Apostle Paul and the great reformers and many church fathers meant when they talked about the law. We defined that law. And then we also did our usual disclaimer that the Apostle Paul himself did regularly as he was under attack from legalists. And as the great reformers used, and as we do, we remind people, we're not saying the law is bad. The law is very, very, very good. The problem is, it's too good. It's perfect. And as Paul told us in Romans 8, the law is powerless to bring us righteousness because it's weakened by us, by our flesh, the Apostle Paul said. So that's we're not debating whether the law is good or not. It is wonderfully good and meant to bring us freedom. If we could keep it perfectly, it would. But that's not its role, is it? And then we talked about after that, so what is the proper use of the law? We went into detail on that. And we finished up with what is the improper use of the law. It's important that we know that when we see it, especially as we're listening to someone preach the gospel, that we understand when they're veering a little bit, maybe. We'll say it that way. And so just to summarize as we start to transition from law into grace, and that's an important word to remember, a little foreshadowing, transition. So Romans 9:30, the Apostle Paul told us, he said, "What then shall we say? This is his summarization of the gospel, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. And as I kick it to you, Ajay, I just also want to mention this same stumbling stone is just not the stone that believers and Jews stumble over. Every world religion, which is a works-based religion, is trying to earn their righteousness by the things they do, by the law. What do you think, Ajay?
Yeah, in fact, Mark, you know, just to back you up, I always back what you say with scriptures. And a very, very similar scripture, same thought is in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. In fact, you know, that summarizes very succinctly why the law is given. After going through Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 and establishing that everybody, Jews, Gentiles, and everyone in the world are under sin, then the question is, like, if everyone is under sin, why did God give the law, right? And that's exactly the point, Romans chapter 3, 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, the very purpose, the very reason law was given is to show us our sin, right? By the law is knowledge of sin. By the law is not knowledge of righteousness. Many people misinterpret and think that by the law is knowledge of righteousness, but actually by the law is knowledge of sin. That's why back to the scripture that you quoted, Mark, because of this misunderstanding, many people pursue righteousness by the law because they don't understand the purpose of the law. It is given to show us that we are sinners. That which is given to point our sins can never make us righteous, right? You know,
yeah.
That's where the law is given.
That's a great point, Ajay. It's not showing us, it's not pointing to righteousness, it's pointing to our sin. And yeah. You know, that's the way the Apostle Paul taught. And he was never a finger pointing, never a finger pointer trying to embarrass anybody or attack them, but he would just lay it out as it is, what the law has done, what our predicament is. He did that so many times before he'd preach the gospel. He'd say, look, we all are under condemnation. We are all unrighteous. The law has shown us that. It's made it conscious of that sin. It's not only made us conscious of that sin, it's made it so that we see it as utterly sinful. The law isn't meant just to say, oh, nobody's perfect. It's meant to say, wait a minute, you've got a big problem here. You do not have righteousness in the eyes of God, so you cannot be in close relationship with him at all.
Yeah, one analogy that came to my mind, Mark, you know, again, establishing the purpose of the law to make it very simple is, right, when a person is sick, you know, you go and give the blood for blood test, and then they put it under a microscope to actually, you know, find the germs, right? But for a healthy person, you don't do that. But the intent of the microscope is to find the sickness, if there are any germs in your blood or any bacteria. But the thing is, the microscope, just because you put your blood under the microscope, you don't become healthy, right? Microscope is not the solution. It's just a tool to find out or show that, you know, there is some sickness in your blood. Similarly, the law is a tool to show us, hey, you know, there is a disease called sin that you all have in your blood, and you need something else, right, to be cured of that. The microscope itself, it cannot cure you. That's not the medicine. It's a diagnosis tool. So law is like that. It can never really make us righteous.
Right. And that's really how the Apostle Paul used it. He used it to show us. I could just see Paul saying, look, I've got some bad news and I've got some good news. Here's the bad news. the law and what it has done to us. But the good news is that you are no longer under the law if you are in Christ. And that's where we're moving now. Because if we just stopped at the law, I think all our listeners would go away very depressed, wouldn't they, Ajay?
Yeah. Mark, can I jump in real quick here before you go there? So yeah, you said, you know, we are no longer, I mean, you will be no longer under the law if you are in Christ. And we talked about it several times, but I just wanted to quickly talk about how we get into Christ. And then after that, you know, we can talk about why we are not under the law and all the good stuff. So if you don't mind, real quick.
Go ahead.
So back to the scriptures, right? It says Romans chapter 3, verse 19. We just read it. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin. That's where the bad news ends, and the good news is, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So this is the good news, right? The law has done its work in everybody's life. And for those who realize that they are sinners, you know, in fact, we can talk about this forever, Mark, but, you know, just the other day I was talking to one of my friends. I just posted that nobody can become righteous by works. And then we had a conversation, but again, it somehow turned into, yeah, we can't get righteous by works, but, you know, these are all the things we can do to improve our lives, right? To be at peace, you know, you change your thinking, you change all the things. You know, all those things are good, but, you know, they don't reach your spirit. We have a dead spirit, and we need life in our dead spirit. So the only, and all those things cannot make us righteous. So the good news is now a different righteousness, a righteousness that is not based on the law, is revealed in the gospel, and that righteousness is given to us by faith. And that righteousness is given to us as a gift because of the redemption, because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he died in our place, shed his precious blood, and removed our sins. He is able to give righteousness as a gift. So, and how do we become righteous, or how do we get out of the law? It is through faith in Jesus Christ. To everyone who believes, to all and all, but the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Because all have sinned, and there's only one way we can become righteous. All will become righteous the same way, which is through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's awesome. That is the good news. I talked about Paul coming with the bad news, good news. He literally brought the good news. And because of that, he tells us in Romans 6:14, sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And then he tells us in Romans 4:13, that those who depend on the law, if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And then he says, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. And then in Romans 5:13, he said, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Romans 7:8, for apart from the law, sin is dead. So what I've mentioned this before, but Paul was a very educated man, very intelligent. And so I always sometimes feel like when he's preaching, he's very much reasoning with us. He's using logic, and sometimes he almost uses mathematical equations to bring us to a conclusion. So when you look at what he just said there, he said, you are not under the law, but under grace. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Where there is no law, sin is not charged against anyone's account. Where there is no law, sin is dead. He brings us to that beautiful conclusion there, that we are no longer sinners. We no longer transgress against God. Yes, we still sin here in these fleshly bodies here on earth, but God no longer charges it to our account or considers it as a personal transgression against him.
Yeah, Mark, you know, I just wanted to clarify one thing, right? You know, when we say there's no law, it is, we're talking about the believers, right, who have been redeemed from the law.
Right, exactly.
Through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, sometimes people might misapply, where there's no law, there is sin is dead. Then they might say, why not just take away the law? Then there is no sin. But the point is, for unbelievers who do not have Christ, they are already dead. You know, whether you take the law out or whether you keep the law, it doesn't matter. They are dead. You know, it's more like, you know, on an unbeliever, the way the law works is you are a paralytic, right? You are, or somebody is a paralytic. When I say you, I'm not talking about any person in particular, but I'm talking in general. If somebody is paralytic, they are lying in the bed and they can't move anyways, right? You know, they're just immobile. And if you give them the law or if you don't give them the law, they are immobile. But when you actually give them the law and says, hey, you know, you have to run now. Unless you run, you cannot eat food or whatever. Unless you run, you will not have the reward. Then he is trying really hard to get up, but he still cannot, right? So that is a situation people are in. Dead men, people who cannot do any kind of good works or any kind of righteousness. For them, exposing them to the law is like telling a paralytic, okay, run. If you run, I'll give you a reward. Obviously, you cannot run, right? So in that situation, whether you keep the law or take away the law, it makes no difference. But what the law has done is it has shown the paralytic that, hey, you cannot move. You need healing. You need life. You need crutches in order to move. So gospel is like, you know, giving life to that paralytic man. And once the person is able to walk and run, the law is not needed at all, right? He doesn't need the law to tell him, hey, you need to run. He is already running. That's why, you know, for believers, we are no longer under the law. But the thing we need to realize is we are removed from the law into righteousness, or we are removed from the law by giving life. We actually go from law to life. That's why, you know, for a believer, law is not necessary at all. And in fact, if you expose a believer to the law, it will have an opposite effect. Instead of freely walking in the life they have, now they fall back to flesh and then try to please God by their works, and then they will fall flat on their faces. So I just wanted to clarify that, Mark.
Yeah, that's a great point, Ajay. And I would say what's very interesting is that, so the Apostle Paul said the law, this is a paraphrase, he said, the law speaks to those who are under the law. Now, in this world, there's only one group of people who are not under the law, and that's people who have put their faith in Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Yep.
Now, the concerning thing, though, is of all the people in the world, the people that are trying to fulfill that law harder than anybody else are those same people who are no longer under the law.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah, that's a great point, Mark. You know, it's like, yeah, like you said, the people, the reason why we are having this podcast is many believers who have been delivered from the law, who are dead to the law through the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't know that they are not under the law, right? And they're trying to keep the law.
Yeah. So here's a great encapsulation in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. There's another great scripture that tells us we're no longer transgressors against God. Romans 4:8, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never impute to them, never count against them. I know that's one of your favorite scriptures, Ajay.
Yeah, Mark. Now back to Romans chapter 4, the verse that you just read, right? You know, Lord is not imputing sin to us because where there is no law, there is no imputation, right? You need the law to impute sin to people. But for us, our sins are forgiven. And our blessedness is that Lord will not. And it is a very strong negative. It says, Lord will never, ever impute sin to us. What a blessing, right? You know, that is the blessing of the new covenant. And that is the entrance into all other blessings of the new covenant, that our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and God is not imputing sins to us.
That's such a great point, Ajay, such a freeing point. And I love from time to time to repeat scripture to myself to remind me of the truths that God tells us in Hebrews 10:15, He will remember our sins and lawless acts no more. He tells us in Romans 4:8 that He will never count our sins against us. He tells us that sin is not charged to our account. He tells us because we're no longer under law, but under grace, there is no transgression. I could go on and on. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Though they be as scarlet, He washes them whiter than snow. There's so much in there that the believer needs to just soak in like a sponge.
Yeah, you know, this is my, I know I talked about this before as well, but this is my favorite illustration. You know, you just said, Mark, you know, there's no charge against it, right? You know, it's not just, you know, when someone is committed a crime, and there's a difference between pardon and forgiveness. So sometimes, you know, president of every country, I think they have that. They have the ability to pardon people. And in some cases, they give presidential pardon to some of the people who committed crimes. And of course, you know, depending upon the crime, right? But the thing is, just because they are pardoned doesn't mean that they did not commit the crime. They actually committed the crime. The crime is in their account. It's just that the president pardoned them. That means they are relieved of the punishment, but the charge is still on them. But with us, it says like, there's no charge against it. Who shall lay a charge against God's elect? It's not only our sin is removed, the charge of sin is also removed. I always give this example. It's like, you know, like you get a letter from the court and you committed some really bad sin or bad crime, and then now you have to show up in the court. And then you're so scared and you're worried about the punishment. You don't know how many years you're going to spend in jail. And then you go to the court. And the judge is like, hey, why are you here? It's like, why are you even here? There's no charge. Why are you even here? You know, that is our situation. Because our Lord Jesus Christ not only took the guilt and the penalty and the punishment of our sins, but He also removed the charge.
Yeah. That reminds me of a legal term, Ajay, and that term is our records have been expunged. That's such a powerful word, isn't it?
Yeah.
If someone goes to look back at our record, there's not going to be something there that says pardoned. It's going to be blank. It's been erased, expunged. And now, I don't know if this is a good illustration or not, you tell me, now we've been given diplomatic immunity. If you ever heard that, if you've ever heard that term, it means when foreign diplomats come into our country, they're no longer subject to the law. They've been taken out from under the laws of this country.
Yeah.
So our records have been expunged, and now in Christ we have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
And that came at a great cost to Him.
Yeah, and that's exactly what is righteousness, right? Our state is righteousness forever before God. That means no sin can be imputed. Righteous means basically you never sinned. If you ever sinned, you cannot be a righteous man, and God cannot deem you as righteous. So when we believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness is given as a gift. And this righteousness is based on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So if you sinned, you are a sinner, but what the Lord Jesus Christ did is through His sacrifice, through His blood, and through His death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And our sin, Lord Jesus Christ took. and he died in our place. And he did not die for a few of our sins. He did not die until we were saved, the sins we committed until we were saved. He died for the lifetime of the sins of our whole lifetime. That means the sins were already paid for, and God can never impute sin to us because they were already washed away by the cross. So that's why the righteousness we receive is an everlasting righteousness, because the work of our Lord Jesus Christ is an everlasting work, right? The Bible says it's an eternal redemption. Because he redeemed us eternally, we can never lose our righteousness. So every time God looks at us, we are righteous. It's like when God looks at us, it is basically like God looking at Jesus Christ. And Jesus is already everlastingly righteous, so we are everlastingly righteous. So even if we sin in this body, in this world, we are still righteous. We will not lose our righteousness.
Yeah, and Romans 6:11, the Apostle Paul tells us, because of everything we've been talking about here, Ajahn, specifically what you just shared with us, he says, because of this, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that summary right there. And reckon, that's not a word that's used a lot in modern language, but that means to calculate something. So Paul's telling us, look at all these scriptures, look at this gospel I presented here that was given to me directly by Christ, and calculate, do the math, and calculate yourselves to be dead to sin. All this is telling you, you are dead to sin, but you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. And he's our life. We've talked about that many times. He's just not showing us the way to life. He himself is our life.
Yeah. In fact, Mark, I've been studying and meditating on this chapter for almost a month now. Every day I go to Romans 6 and read it, and I get something new. I still didn't move out of that one. So, like you said, reckon means basically you're not, if you have $10 in your pocket, you will reckon. That means you count that you have $10. It's not like making up, right? Reckon doesn't mean imagine that you have $10. Reckon means you actually have $10, so account it, right? So Lord Jesus Christ, his death is, he did not die for himself, right? He didn't need to die for himself. He died for us on behalf of us as a substitute. That means whatever is the result of his death is ours. So when Lord Jesus Christ died, he died to sin, literally, right? Because he died a physical death and he went to, exited the world, and then he was raised again, right, on the third day. So when he died to sin. So his death is our death. That's why, you know, Paul is saying that because he died for us, and whatever happened in his death is ours. So that's why Bible says, or Paul says, you know, we died to the law. When Jesus died, he died to the law. And when Jesus died, he died to sin. He basically died to the influence of sin. He died to even the everything, the authority or dominion of sin, right? So when you say reckon, what it is saying is Jesus' death is ours. And because sin has no authority or no power over the dead Lord Jesus Christ, it has no power over us. And when Jesus died, remember that he did not die as a righteous man. He knew no sin, became sin, and died in our place. So he died as you. He died as me. And we are already dead to sin. That's why Paul is saying that, reckon yourself. It is a reality.
Yes.
It's not some make-believe.
Yeah, that's the exact same thought I had in my head, Ajay. Paul could have just said, you are dead to sin. You are alive to God in Christ Jesus. But that in itself is not going to take hold unless you reckon yourself dead to sin. Unless you realize that,
yeah.
you understand it and know it and receive it, not just in your head, but into your very core of who you are. You are dead to sin. You are alive to God. But unless you reckon that, you may not live that way.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So let us move on then. Now, Paul talks a little bit about the mechanism or how we are no longer under the law, how that happens. And in Romans 7:4, if you ever get out of Romans 6 where you've been meditating, Ajay, you can do this one. So Romans 7:4 says, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God." And if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you'll know that Ajay and me are constantly saying, "This is my favorite scripture. This is my favorite scripture."
Yeah.
And so right now, I'll just say, this is my favorite scripture of the last couple months. Our favorite scriptures are, well, there's hundreds of our favorite ones in there. But I love this one because it's telling us that getting out from under the law, reckoning yourself to being dead to sin, being dead to the law, that has consequences to it. And Paul's telling us here, unless you reckon yourself to have died to the law through the body of Christ, you can't belong to another. That's step one. You have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you might belong to another. If you keep yourself back under the law, you're not going to fully belong to Christ and receive all that is in that inheritance. And he said, he was raised from the dead so that you might bear fruit for God. And one of the things is that, and I've mentioned this many times, is that I think most pastors that are preaching a mixture of faith and works, legalism, if you will, a lot of them have good intentions. They want to see their congregants living lives that are full and joyful. They want them to know the Lord. They want them to be faithful to their spouses and raising their kids in a good way and doing their best in their marketplace and at work. But they get the how wrong. And Paul is telling us, here's the how. If you want to do all those good things, which Paul calls fruit in your life, you need to die to the law through the body of Christ. You need to reckon that. It's already happened to you if you've put your faith in Christ, so that you can belong to the one who is raised from the dead, so that all these good things can come into your life. It's in that reckoning, that understanding and receiving of all Christ did for us, that we produce that fruit. It's not reading another book on giving or reading another book or hearing a sermon on being a good dad. Those are all good things, but we don't have the power to do that. The power is in the gospel. The Apostle Paul says that just as we received Christ, so now live in him. We received him by grace through faith. Now let's live that way.
Yeah, yeah. So Mark, that is so important for believers to realize that we are dead to the law. And the reason being, right, like you said, we are already dead to the law and we belong to God. But the thing is, if you don't realize that you are dead to the law, you'll act like you are under the law. Then all that comes is your flesh, right? In your flesh, you're trying to keep the law and then go through this cycle of you're constantly trying to keep the law and you fail. And then you try again, you beat yourself up and you try again. You will never come out of that loop. But the reality is you're already dead to the law and you belong to God. But if you don't realize that you're dead to the law, you will act as if you don't belong to God and it will become difficult to bear fruit. So some people are afraid that, if I believe that I'm dead to the law, then I'll go and sin like crazy, right? Because there are no rules and regulations. But if you realize, right, you know, when we are not dead to the law and then we don't remain dead, we actually are going from law to life, right? So we are dead to the law so that we can be married to God, so that we can live in him, so that we can bear fruit. So the whole reason for Paul is encouraging us to understand and reckon that we are dead to the law, because that's the only way to bear fruit. People mistakenly think that if you somehow, in fact, they still think law is, again, you know, it is a very incorrect understanding. They think that law is the way to bear fruit, but it is not. You have to die to the law. You have to reckon that you are dead to the law, and you have to reckon that you are alive in Christ. Only then you will bear fruit.
And you know, in the very next verse in Romans 7, 5, the Apostle Paul reiterates what you just said by saying, "For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." I want to show you a little comparison here, and that in 7:4, Paul tells us that if we die to the law and belong to Christ, who was raised for us, we will bear fruit for God. But if we stay in the realm of the flesh, which is the law, we will bear fruit for death. That's a pretty powerful comparison he's making there. The law only brings death. Belonging to Christ, dying to that law, brings fruit for God.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that is such a powerful and thing, you know, to realize that under the law we bear fruit to death, right? It's like, you know, if you bring the law, like I just said, a person, a paralytic man, if you tell him to run, he cannot. It's clearly, it's showing that, you know, he cannot run. You know, until you tell him, hey, get up and run, he might be thinking that I am able to run, but when you actually try to run, he cannot, right? Similarly, you know, we are already dead, and when we are exposed to the law, we will bring out more death. That is what happens in the natural man who is not saved. But for those who are saved, if we expose them to the law, it's not that they're going to die again, but the flesh will come back to life, and you will start acting as if you're not saved, as if you're not born again. And you will start, actually you'll start sinning more as a believer if you expose a believer to the law. In fact, you know, sometimes even more than when he was an unbeliever, because now they're conscious of sin and they're conscious of not sinning and they try so hard. But the more you try, the law gets, or the flesh will come after you even more, the more you try. So you will end up sinning even more. You know, you might pretend like holy outside, but deep down you know that it's not working. So for a believer, it is very, very important to understand that we are no longer under the law. Law is irrelevant to the believer. And then you are in Christ. When you realize that, there's not only freedom and joy, but you will also start bearing fruit to God.
Amen, amen. So Ajay, I was really hoping today you and I would get from the law, completely transition into grace. But as I thought maybe would happen, this is a very deep subject. And the point is, the Apostle Paul and Scripture in general has so much to say about the law, has so much to say about grace and faith in Christ. So that being said, why don't we kind of wrap up and summarize right now, and then we will carry on next week.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so again, I think we definitely want to do one more on grace. Finally, maybe we can get to grace. But
at least one more.
Yeah, in my view, I think, like I just said, it took us a long time for us. You know, the moment, the newborn believers, right? You know, those who are newly born again, they are so zealous for God, and they think that, okay, now I have to keep the whole law. Now I have to live by 10 commandments. And then they fall into this trap of trying to keep the law by their own strength. And the more they try to do that, you know, in fact, it happened with me as well. And the more you try to do that, the worse it becomes. And so what I encourage everybody, right, a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, is to realize that we are not under the law and realize the freedom that we have in Christ. And understand that we are no longer under the law and we are under grace. And when you realize that, you will start walking in victory, slowly but surely, but you will enjoy more and more freedom, and you will bear fruit more and more.
Yes, true. So, Ajay, for over 1,000 years, this gospel that we're talking about here today and every time we do a podcast was lost to the world. The church had become nothing but Christian myths and works and a mechanism of control for many, until Martin Luther discovered the things we're talking about today. If it wasn't for that, who knows? I mean, God was obviously at work bringing his gospel back out to the world. But he said this, once he understood these things, once he reckoned himself dead to the law, dead to sin and alive to Christ, reckoned himself to be the righteousness of God, a new creation, that the old is gone, the new is come. Once that happened, he said it was like he was born again, and that the gates of heaven swung open and he entered. That's the joy he had in this truth. So it is our heartfelt desire for all of our listeners to enter in through those same joyful gates of the gospel, that you would receive everything that Christ died to give you, which Paul described as the riches of his glorious inheritance in us who believe. So that's our prayer for you. We hope you have considered the things we've said today, and that you yourself will continue to dive deeply into Scripture and in prayer and find these things out for yourself as well. So God bless you all this week. Have a great week, and we will talk to you again the next time.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged and uplifted. If so, we encourage you to subscribe and share our podcast with your friends and family. You can listen and subscribe on most popular podcast apps. Well, that's it for us today. As always, God bless, and we will talk to you the next time.
All my days, Lord, I will